in Augusta not too long ago, and I played golf with a friend of mine from Conway, Joe Ford, and Joe said, I'd like you to meet my wife. And I said, well, we'll get through playing golf. I'd like to meet your wife. And so we walked over to the cabin we were staying, the Stevens Cottage at Augusta. And I met Mrs. Ford. And she said, I've heard of you. You're the guy who puts me to sleep every Sunday afternoon. I said, that's not the way I want to be remembered.
That is such a good clip.
Welcome back in the zone. That's Pat Summerall talking at the Hall of Fame banquet.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good, because it's so true. That's how so many women remember golf on a Sunday.
That's
a perfect way to fall asleep.
That's it. And as a Cub fan, I try to go to sleep during most of those games. Makes the pain less. Pat Summerall passing away at the age of 82 yesterday, and we've talked a lot about him here in the first hour. We have another great gentleman on the Revolution Hotline. It is Rick Schaefer, and we will talk to him about Pat Summerall and a number of other things, including, unfortunately, Razorback baseball. But, Rick, appreciate you joining us. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing great, and what a great introduction there, Justin, to hear Pat Summerall and, you know, people of Arkansas. It's interesting that all the news things, you said the NFL's mourning. Well, you know, the state of Arkansas was certainly impacted by this as well, because he's a great Razorback, and you know, I know Coach Broyles was doing some interviews up here last night, and I'm blessed that he still calls me every now and then. He calls, us, okay, now the Arkansas angle. Whoa. And I reminded him that in 1994, when Arkansas was celebrating its centennial in football, we did a video. I was SID then, and Pat Summerall was gracious enough to narrate it. And when you think about it, what the impact was, he was at the absolute height of his NFL career when he did that. And, you know, he's a busy guy, and it's been a long time since he was a Razorback, but he came back and did that, and that was really a wonderful gesture on his part.
Somebody texted me this morning and said that he has a book, too, and I have not had a chance to read that. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, he wrote it in about 2000, I'm going to say 6, 7, somewhere in that range. I've got a copy. I skimmed it. I haven't read the whole thing, but he does talk a lot about his personal story and the alcohol rehabilitation he made, his born-again experience becoming a Christian, and, of course, he was very involved with FCA in his later years, talks about his broadcast career, his football career. So, yeah, it's really good. I'm sure it's still in circulation. If there's somebody that really wants to get him to know him better, and isn't it sad that sometimes when somebody dies, you say, I wish I'd have known more about him. Well, that's a great place to go back and look, because he tells his personal story, and it's very, very good.
Rick, what are your recollections, and I know you weren't watching the games, but as far as Pat's impact on Razorback football, you know, the fact that he played, you know, offense and defense, and also was a, you know, a prominent kicker as well. I mean, it's a unique thing, and we talked about it a little earlier. It's part of a bygone era.
You know what's kind of funny, Justin? He's regarded as a kicker because he kicked the field goal to beat Texas in 1951, 16-14. Actually, it gave Arkansas a 16-7 lead, and then Texas scored a touchdown. So that was the difference in the ball game. I believe, if I'm correct, that was only one of two field goals he kicked in his whole career. So
that's hard to believe.
It's not like he was Steve Little or something.
Right.
But he did kick a memorable field goal. The other interesting thing was he played a year for John Barnhill and 2 years for Otis Douglas. Those Otis Douglas teams were loaded with future NFL players. Fred Williamson, Hog Hanner, there were a bunch of them. Lamar McCann. Their best year was 5-5.
Wow.
Other than that, they weren't very good. And evidently, when Otis Douglas was there, he thought, well, these guys are men. I'm going to treat them like pros, which meant he didn't really discipline them too much off the field either. So
yeah,
that's a whole different era back then.
Rick, as a fellow broadcaster, guy who works on games too, I mean, the thing I like about Pat, and I went back and watched some of his great clips from over the years, is that he let the moment be bigger than him. And there are a lot of guys, and there's different styles, and there's no right or wrong answer here, but I love the way he sort of had an understated way of announcing the action.
There was, I heard one tribute to him, I think it was Mike Tirico, said he said more with fewer words than any broadcaster ever.
Yeah. I heard that this morning.
And I thought that was very nice, and that is a great tribute, because as we all know, as humble as we'd all like to be, if you're in the business, there's definitely ego involved. And I've had the privilege of, in my years as sports information director, and still have great connections with national media people, and there are some like Jim Nance, he's as humble as can be. But there are some that you can tell they've got some humility, but it's tough because they also think they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to have a certain confidence level to be able to do that. And so to be able to have it said about you, you said more in fewer words, I think that is one of the greatest compliments that could ever be paid to anybody in this business.
I think you're right. Well, brevity is genius, they say. And as a guy who talks almost nonstop for 3 hours, I'm at the other end of the spectrum. So, and I'm okay with that, too, because you know what? The world needs ditch diggers also. So we gotta,
that's exactly right.
You got to have other ends of the spectrum to have something to compare to. Well,
that's exactly right. And if you are, like Randy and I are, too, for 3 hours a day, well, radio silence doesn't work too well.
No.
You do have to talk.
A picture may tell 1,000 words, but we're limited in the picture department. So
that's exactly right.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring you on, and I do want to try to touch on some baseball and some other things as well, but the Abbott Nutrition Razor Fest, which is going on this Saturday as part of the festivities with the Red-White game, and somebody had asked me, is there anything going on? I said, well, I know Razor Fest is going on. I don't have a lot of details, but I know our listeners will be, you know, certainly thrilled to know all the ins and outs of what's going on this weekend.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, Justin. You know, every year you think it's going to be bigger and better, and some years it has been, and some years it hadn't been as big. This one is probably, there are going to be more activities than Champions for Kids has ever had. Those who have come before know that that north parking lot in front of the Borrell Center is just filled with games and activities. What happened last year was the one thing you hate, and that's long lines. And so there are probably double the activities for kids in the north end zone this year, and parents are going to love it. It's not Disneyland or anything, but they're just fun activities. It's high energy, and it's just all over the north parking lot. And then that's also where the Abbott Nutrition autograph zone is. We've got several great former Razorbacks. I think one of the wonderful windows is our first one at 10:15, when Frank Boyles and Jeff Long will both be there with several other former Razorbacks, Bryson Manor, Ike Forte, Jonathan Luigs. And then there's another group at 11:30 that's got several of our great quarterbacks and several other athletes. And then at 12:45, and I could name names all through there, and that's very good. But, you know, the adults may love that, but for kids, they're going to love the activity in the parking lot. It's absolutely free. Then you go into the East Concourse, and there's activities all over the place in the East Concourse. You go into the South Concourse, music, high-energy games the whole time for 4 hours. And then something that's brand new for us this year is on the plaza, just outside the east entrance, that we're going to have the Walmart Taste Tips and Trends Zone, where kids can get samples of nutritious food items and also tips on how to live healthier and activities that are going to be high energy. And there's also a Disney Zone right next to that, whereas Radio Disney will be there. And when Radio Disney has come in the past, they've been really good, but they've never brought one of their national TV celebrities. And they've got one of those coming this year. People who have kids out there may have heard of the show Dog with a Blog. And so there's a guy named Blake Michael that's one of the stars of that show. You know, one of those good teen idols, I guess. They're teen idols, and then they get older, and they're not idols anymore. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he will be there and meeting kids, and, you know, that's going to be a really fun thing. So all that starts at 10 o'clock at the main stage, the north parking lot. Coach Brett Bielema and Jeff Long will greet everybody there and then turn them loose and go have fun for 4 hours.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Very cool.
Yeah, my kids watch The Dog with a Blog, but I haven't been exposed to it too much.
I've never heard of it.
That'll be good, but that's fun. There's also Christina LaCure is here, Rick, and golf is her first love, and there's a first tee golf zone I saw, too, on the south side, so that's cool.
That's correct, and first tee, of course, a great organization, getting kids involved at an early age, so yes, that is set up in the south zone.
So what are you looking for in the game itself this weekend? What kinds of things do you expect to see that will maybe give us a clue as to what we're going to get this fall?
Well, here's what I think is exciting, Justin, but it may not relate to excitement in the game. So I think people need to come prepared. When Brett Bielema is hoping for a big crowd, and he'd like to set a record, we all love to set records every year, and Razorback fans are good about that, and since it's free, why not? You know, it's your only chance to see him till August 31st, so I think that's a big deal. But we're going to see some, I noticed yesterday they're feeling better about the passing game for the first time, but we're not going to see them go out there and fling it all over the lot. And we're not going to see the first team offense having its confidence built by playing against the second and third defense. We're going to see the ones against the ones for at least a half. And because we see the ones against the ones, you know, I don't think we're going to see four or five touchdowns scored. But what we're going to see is improving the offensive line, improving the defensive line, We're going to see a physicality we haven't seen since the offensive lines when Houston Nutt was here. And I know people say, we're going to go back to run the ball all the time. Well, you know, Houston Nutt had some pretty good quarterbacks who threw it some, but no. I think you look at Brett Bielema's offense, it's balanced. But the bottom line is, if you can run block effectively, then you can turn that into effective pass blocking. If you can pass block effectively, it doesn't necessarily mean you can run block. And I think that's what we've seen the last few years. And hopefully, we're going to see a more physical football team this year, and we'll see it on Saturday.
Let's hope so. Let me shift gears to basketball briefly. Hunter Mickelson leaves yesterday. I don't think it was anything that shocked anyone. I wouldn't say that we saw the writing on the wall, but I don't think anybody was totally caught off guard by this. What do you think the impact is in the short term? And certainly it opens up an opportunity from a scholarship standpoint for Mike Anderson's staff.
Well, I hate to see it happen because I like all those guys, you know, whether they fit or not. And Hunter Mickelson, there's a guy from Jonesboro who committed to the program even after the coach that originally recruited him left. And so you got to appreciate Hunter for doing that. If he does feel like he'd be better off in a different system, I understand that. I saw the quotes from his father, very classy, not one negative word about the program, just a better, you know, wants a somewhere where he'll fit better. So I thought that was all handled well, but you hate to see it. Now, from a size standpoint, you're losing a 6'10", but you're bringing in, two guys that are in that range who can be inside scorers. Hunter wouldn't have maybe had to play with his back to the basket as much next year, but nonetheless, you got some guys coming in with size. And then, you know, let's don't forget Landis Harris. Here's a guy that's 6'7", a physical player who's been successful at other schools at the University of Houston. I think he's going to make a big impact on the team, too. So I think the inside is going to be okay. Obviously, where Arkansas needs some help is perimeter shooting. There's one of two ways you can go. You can either say, okay, there's more prolific scoring inside. There's some really good players inside. Let's tone it down and let's do what a lot of people are doing and win 64-59. Or if you want to run Mike Anderson's system, which is what he wants to do, then, you know, they've got two scholarships now. Even if they only use one of them, we don't know who's out there. We know they're still recruiting. Just because one guy went to A&M doesn't mean they're all gone.
Right.
They're still recruiting players. Can you find somebody that can help shoot the basketball? I think Antoine Bell will shoot it even better next year. Mardrakus Wade, hopefully it'll be the even year. You know, the freshman year didn't shoot well, sophomore year did, junior didn't. I hope he's back as a senior. But they need a little help in the shooting department.
Mm-hmm. Baseball-wise, Rick, the way oversimplified version from fans, I think, for a lot of them today is going to be maybe this team just isn't very good. Shut out yesterday and no hit, actually, in the first game against Nebraska, then lost the second game as well. This is not a vintage Nebraska team either. This is a team that, for Arkansas, has had issues offensively, some games not hitting real well, some games just not getting timely hits and leaving runners on base. But disappointing, I would think, the performance in Nebraska yesterday.
Baseball is a different sport, and you just have to remember that. If you treat it like football and basketball, you're going to be disappointed a lot because the best teams lose some. Mm-hmm. I know 25-14 isn't a glittering record right now, but this team has great pitching. And yes, there are days when the offense isn't so good, but let's remember, last year Arkansas was 16-14 in the SEC, still made it to the College World Series, and finished third in the country. Mm-hmm. You know what the score was of the regional championship game? It was 1-0 in 10 innings. So you know, this is not – there was no promise that this was going to be a team that was going to go out there and score 5 runs a game. Now, it's obviously disappointing when you go to Nebraska and you lose both games, you get no hit, you score 2 runs in 2 games, but that doesn't mean they won't come back and beat Texas A&M this weekend. So the key for this team is, again, get into the regionals. They're going to see teams they haven't seen from the SEC or playing wins non-conference games. Are going to have their best pitching available. And in the tournaments, University of Arkansas is going to be tough to beat. They may not make it to Omaha, but I can tell you they will be tough to beat because of the pitching staff they have. Now, one of the things that's got to happen between now and then is for Arkansas's defense has got to get better. That's been a liability at times. And when you look at the unearned runs they give up in losses as compared to the unearned runs they give up in wins, it's pretty lopsided. I think it's 3.5 runs, unearned runs in losses, and maybe 1 per game in wins. So, you know, that's an area that they've got to shore up. The offense will come and go, but if you've got that kind of pitching, you can win 2-1 in NCAA tournament games, and that's mm-hmm. what Arkansas is going to have to do.
That's it. Well, now they've got to figure out how to manufacture two runs. So
that's right.
What about, I was going to ask you too about Poche. He did not pitch the midweek games as he has been. Does that, I mean, my outside looking in makes me think that he's going to be part of the rotation in some way for the weekend.
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know if that's, I don't know if it's that, the fact that Dave Van Horn was upset with his performance last week. So I don't know which one's which.
Yeah.
But at any rate, he's got talent. He's got great talent. And so the question is, you know, when will he be used again? I thought he was just a little bit last night. I don't know that he's going to be part of the rotation this weekend.
Okay.
I'm not sure Arkansas will change that unless they just feel like, hey, he can give you more innings than Randall Fant's giving you right now. So I guess that's a thought. But I'm not sure they'll shake up the weekend rotation. In fact, the game Randall pitched the other day, you know, he gave what he needed to, and the bullpen did well. They just gave up some runs in the 10th inning.
Mm-hmm. This weekend, Texas A&M, Rick, I know it's amazing. We were talking about this yesterday a little bit, the fact that A&M, Florida, Georgia, all down in baseball this year. It's hard to believe some programs that have certainly had some good teams over the years. But certainly for Arkansas, an opportunity this weekend and part of a big celebration, you know, in Fayetteville.
Yeah, definitely. What a great weekend. A&M for baseball, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Abbott Nutrition Razor Fest, the spring football game. It's a big weekend for Letterman coming back. It's a great weekend. And again, when you're talking about the baseball aspect of it, you look at the second half schedule for Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nearly as difficult as the first half.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go out and win. Maybe they won't win at all. Who knows? But the second half, you're playing A&M and Tennessee at home. Okay. And you look at the first half, the teams that Arkansas played at home, all are better than that. LSU, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss are all doing better than those two are. Then you look at going on the road where Arkansas has already swept South Carolina and won two games at Alabama. Well, they go to Auburn and Georgia, two of the teams that are in the low at the bottom. And then Kentucky, which is pretty good. They struggle a little bit. They're a pretty good team. So the second half schedule is not nearly as tough as the first. You hope to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Arkansas and A&M, 6:35 on Friday, 7:30 on Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. And again, you'll be able to go to Razor Fest, and then you can go to the Red-White game and the baseball game on Saturday. It all times out nicely. Part of a big celebration, the Champions for Kids presenting Abbott Nutrition Razor Fest starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, the Red-White game at 2 o'clock, and that's a game as well as the baseball game that you can hear here on The Buzz. Rick, I appreciate the time, my friend, and I will talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's Rick Schaefer.